The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
Can you be assertive and still be likable? Welcome to the podcast where it's all about living your love story and making your life a story where love wins. My name is Sienna.
And my name is Toast. We're married and we've been partners in life, love, and music since 2001, over 20 years. On this show, we share our life as an Asian American lesbian couple.
Some of our favorite topics are positive spirituality, holistic health, sometimes cats,
lesbian alert,
and other things we hope are entertaining, uplifting, and helpful for living your love story.
So here we go. Welcome to our home studio in the Pacific Northwest.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. We're so grateful for you, for being here, for listening, for hanging out.
Here we go. Should we go? I don't know. Should we go?
Let's go.
Let's go. Do you think? I don't know. I don't want to be like, so forward about.
I'm like, what are you doing?
Doing this episode.
You're not being very assertive, Toast.
Ah.
Okay, so this topic, it's on assertiveness. And one of the things I think is difficult is if you were raised Asian, whether you're Asian or not, you know, you could have been adopted in an Asian.
Depends which Asian, maybe. We're talking specifically
Japanese, Filipino, even some Chinese, born and raised in Hawaii. So even having that Hawaii culture.
Right. That's the
Aloha
whole
spirit.
Exactly. That's right. the whole context.
That whole culture.
Okay.
Does not really foster assertiveness. You know, what you think of as being assertive. Mm. And I know sometimes, I know when I think of, someone being assertive, there is kind of this tint, or it's tainted mm-hmm. with like kind of being an a-hole. Mm. just a
being assertive.
A taint of it, you know, not like, because I don't think being assertive truly is that. But no. The way we have seen it reflected in culture, it tends to come off as that. Mm. So this is why when I heard, there's an amazing woman. Her name is Vanessa Van Edwards. And somehow I found her on Instagram. Like that happens, right? You just find so many things on Instagram. But I was so happy to find her account because she leads what's called People School, and she teaches people skills. And she calls herself a recovering awkward person.
I love that.
I love that too, because when you look at her, she's beautiful. She is confident, but she's also vulnerable and accessible and all these beautiful things. So I'm so happy to have found her. And recently, she had a free webinar on
as one does
on how to be assertive and still be kind and still be likable. Because I think that's one fear I know I've had mm-hmm. in being assertive is, I don't want people to not like me. I still want to be liked.
Of course. Generally, I think nice people want to be liked. I think jerks don't care about being liked. But
very true.
I find it's kind of a catch-22, because if you care too much about being liked, mm-hmm. then that kind of trips you up, right? It's like, then I start to feel way too self-centered.
Right. And then you end up not being your authentic self, really. And even part of the process, right. I believe in being assertive is in that process, you have to know who you are. Like part of that process is really knowing what you want and how to ask for it. Mm. And in order to do that, you have to know what you want. And that's part of knowing who you are, you know? And so I think that, you know, being assertive isn't just these, you know, do 1, 2, and 3. It really is, growth process.
Yeah. Can I just say sidebar? I don't like those like
1, 2, 3.
Here are the 3 steps. Here are the 7 steps. Here are the one. This is the one secret trick. I'm like, dude, seriously?
I know. I still fall for it because my brain likes the perception of organization. Mm-hmm. I like the idea. Like as soon as I hear, here are the three things, my brain lights up and I see three blocks. I see three and it feels organized and it feels like I can do it. So I still fall for it.
No, I know what you mean.
And I know what you mean. So anyway,
thank you. Let's move on.
Let's move on.
Isn't this beautiful? I just love how we just know what each other means.
Yes. All right. So all of this, well, a lot of this was taken. These are, I took notes. I was like, oh my God, I love this webinar from Vanessa. And so I was just like taking notes like crazy. And one of the things she does say from the start is, well, what defines an assertive person?
Ooh.
You know?
Yes. Let's talk about that. I want to hear
that. Well, I already hinted at it. And an assertive person is someone who knows what they want. And they know how to ask for it.
Okay.
Clearly.
Okay.
And they get it. And oftentimes they get it.
And yet, this episode, nor was the webinar all about getting what you want
and getting your way.
Okay, just to make sure that we're clear on that. And also, I guess, to clarify, when we're talking about assertiveness and what she was talking about assertiveness, it's more about making an ask. And assertiveness in that context versus assertiveness in just the discussion of points of view or sharing ideas.
Yes.
Okay. Just being clear.
Yes. Okay. All right. So here's the thing that we all have to hear for those of us working on being assertive.
Okay, I'm listening.
I'm raising my hand.
I'm listening.
We all need to know, and Vanessa Van Edwards assures us of this,
okay?
And she teaches this, so I want to believe her. I'm going to believe her.
If it makes sense, based on your life experience.
Is that assertiveness is a learnable social skill.
That sounds reasonable.
It is a social skill. So it's not just about, oh, you are or you're not.
Yeah, no, that sounds like BS.
You either, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I love that. That's good, right? It's
that
not
is.
Like, you know,
yeah.
It feels like, okay, it's learnable. So I can do this. Like anytime you hear that, it's like, okay, I can learn how to do this.
Yes.
So I love that.
Okay.
So one of the things in the process of becoming an assertive person is really knowing what you want.
So knowing the ask, having a clear ask.
Well, knowing what you want, like what is it that you want? Because that is going to help you create a clear ask.
Again, sounds reasonable.
Makes sense.
I like
sounds
it. I'm tracking with you.
But here's the thing. I think a lot of people who are, we touched on this just at the start. I think a lot of people who are people pleasers don't know exactly what they want. Because if you're busy pleasing others, it's hard to come back to your center to know, okay, well, what is it that I want? And so, I speak from experience, so I'm not, you know.
So if
I'm not making this stuff up.
So if a person is so focused on pleasing others, then they don't have anything to really be assertive about for themselves.
Well, I think it makes the journey a little bit, there'll be more steps in the journey, in the process of becoming an assertive person or creating the tools to be assertive when you know, okay, this is what I want and I'm going to ask for it.
Okay.
So I think, you know, it seems like, oh, okay, I just need to know what I want and then I can, then I just ask for it. But it's not always that.
Sometimes it's hard to know what
simple.
You want
if
you're not used to having or validating your wants, I guess, is what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But why this is so important about knowing what you want, knowing, you know, what the desire is that it gives us the courage to be assertive. Because if you're not an assertive person, if you haven't learned this skill, it's scary. It's going to feel foreign, right? Because it's like, ooh, I don't know. How do I do this? Well, oh, but what if I come off as this or so?
Or if the messages you've received have been discouraging.
Right.
Or
how do you
recover
from that?
Or disparaging.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Because you've seen examples
of
people asking for what they want and they get belittled.
Slammed down.
And yeah.
So knowing what you want serves as the fuel to have the courage to explore this new terrain.
Okay.
You know, of the asking. So I thought that was really interesting.
Okay. I think I understand that perspective.
Yeah. So in, you know, thinking about, okay, well, let's talk about being assertive and how we become assertive people. You know, I have all this work experience where I've had to cultivate this. But instead of a work example, I thought, you know, there was a time, we're choosing kind of a lighter example, even though at the time it didn't feel so light. So Toast and I were both born and raised in Hawaii. So we both have that common upbringing. We're both of Asian descent. So we have that cultural upbringing. And so we weren't really raised to be the most assertive people. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot of aloha spirit, I will say that. So in the last place that we lived, we had new neighbors move in. And so we were like, oh, we have new neighbors. And, you know, kind of excited, but kind of like, oh, I hope they're going to be nice. And, you know, exactly what you think when there's new people in the neighborhood. You know, you want to connect with them and you're going to want them to be nice, right? Mm-hmm. Like good people. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, oh, look, they have a kid. And so anyways, we're just snooping and just, you know, checking out who these new neighbors are. Anyway, so fast forward maybe like a month in or so, we realize someone is using our trash can and recycle bin incorrectly.
And how did we find out? Because we got a nasty note from the waste management company saying, we're not going to pick up that recycle bin because you put trash in it. Nope.
Yeah.
No service for you.
Yeah. And we knew it wasn't us.
And I saw this, and I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on? I called them up. I said, hey, I put my bins out there. Mm-hmm. It's got only recycling in it.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I know, a few hours later, I come back. And it has this nasty note on it. And all this trash in there that I did not put in there.
Yep.
What am I going to do? I wheel it out to the public space.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sit next to it for hours until you come by and make sure nobody puts trash in it. You know, I wasn't like that with them on the phone. I was simply assertive.
Yes. Yes.
But, you know, the person on the phone was kind of like, oh, yeah. I know. Do you have cameras set up? You know, like, I don't know what you can do. I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah.
And I was exploring all these options with them. And I said, you know what? Am I allowed to create a sign and put a sign on the top of the bin that says, this is recycling only, no trash in this bin?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, sure, you can do that. And I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do then.
So that is what we chose to do.
That was our assertive choice.
We put a sign on. Oh, but the process, because we're not naturally assertive people, we went through all different things because this was building week after week after week. Now, we weren't sure if it was our neighbors, the new neighbors.
We never caught anybody red-handed.
But with my sleuthing abilities, I noticed in their trash can, the color trash bag that was peeking out, that was the same color trash bag of trash that was in.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I thought, it is them. It's the neighbors. Now we could have, so this was happening week after week and they were still putting the wrong things in the wrong place. And then I was having an issue that other people might not see as an issue, but I will be vulnerable and share that they were putting trash in the correct trash bin, but it was loose trash. And I'm like, can you just put it in a bag?
I think you're supposed to put it in a bag. I think that's
really
like the policy.
Okay,
I think
then
it's bag,
all
trash.
Right. It was
just
loose
like
trash.
Throw lettuce leaves or Oh, no, that would
well,
be
that would be compost bin.
Yeah, that would be green waste. Excuse me.
So anyway, so this was building, and it was week after week after week after week, and we didn't catch them. We didn't do anything in that way where, you know, except for me, I was being emotional, and, you know, on one extreme, I'm like, we have to move. And and I thought, well, maybe an assertive action might have been, okay, well, what is it that we want? Do we want them to stop using our bins? Do we want them to just use it correctly? Do we want them to use a trash bag? I would have had no problem with them using our bins if they just used it correctly. I really...
Same here.
I wouldn't have been like, they're Same using here. Our that, bins.
That's why I was just like, make a sign.
Right. Right. You
like,
level-headed.
Raise your hand make a and sign. Be like, can we just have some... You know, organization here.
Just be organized.
Like
right?
the bin right. says, recycling.
But assertiveness could also look like going to the neighbor, knocking on their door and asking, hi, welcome to the neighborhood for one. Number two, have you been using our
you know, somebody has.
Somebody has.
Somebody has been putting it. We don't know
and
who
we
it
need
is.
To. Yes. So it could have looked like that, having a direct conversation. Mm-hmm. Like actually knocking on a door. Mm-hmm. Who does that these days? Nobody, right? Nobody does that. You would leave a note. Another scenario could be going and saying, we were fined.
Or that our trash wasn't picked up. I don't know if we were, I don't think we were fined.
Oh, I thought we were fined.
But we got a warning.
And it, we got
or,
a warning.
Or it was
okay.
just, we missed out. On getting our recycling picked up.
Right.
Because they were like, we're not going to pick up that recycling bin. It has trash in it. Yeah. So I had to go and separate out the trash and...
Someone else's
yada,
trash.
Yada, yada. It's just a pain.
Anyways, so...
First world
So
problems.
Our level of assertiveness was putting a sign out. And that's an important point too, because not all situations will require being assertive. And you have to decide which relationships are worth doing this.
Yeah. And, you know, okay, another sidebar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sidebar it.
In this society, when you are a female, then I think there are also greater risks that factor into that factor into your decision as to how assertive you want to be, because there's
because you're going to be seen as a bitch,
and not only that, I'm talking literal physical.
Oh, I see
physical
I see.
Factors as well.
Yeah.
So just saying.
Yeah,
it's a so much of I think the assertive issue has to do with discernment, assessing risk.
Yeah.
Right. Choosing.
Absolutely.
Choosing the, choosing your battles.
Choosing your battles.
Is the phrase probably. And yeah, choosing your battles.
Yeah. I mean, and we have to do that all throughout life, right?
Right.
Because if you are just in that fighting mode, not saying that assertiveness is a fighting stance, but sometimes it can turn into that and you have to be prepared.
Exactly. If you don't know the other party and if you don't have enough information about the other party.
Right. Like
and,
our neighbors
how
could have been
react.
Crazy people. Like we don't know.
Yeah. Part of the fact, part of the, what went into my factoring of the situation is.
The trash situation?
They, yeah. Yeah. If a person is a type of person who would put trash into somebody else's recycling bin, you know, what else is that? What else might that person respond with? You know what I mean? So I was like, yeah.
Wow.
What?
Ooh, toast.
Does that not make sense? That makes sense,
no,
right?
No, it makes total sense. Yeah, it's so just the like, judgments are coming out like, in full force.
Well, and it's self-protection.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I meant it just now.
You.
It's like, well, if they're going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
But they also could be people like, well, this is the city property, right?
Maybe.
They don't own those bins. The neighbors don't own those bins. They rent them. So I can use it. Yeah. But anyways, yes. And in, you know, speaking
I
of like
being
a woman.
I just made a little sign.
And it was loud. It had a sheet protector on it, people.
Oh, my God.
For the weather here in case it rained. But, you know, in that situation about being a woman in a male-dominated, you know, culture. Mm-hmm. In my work situation, you know, there have been times where I'm working with all other men in leadership positions. Mm-hmm. And something that I found with myself is in my assertions, I would have this habit of trying to speak louder, almost like they're not going to hear me. So the assertive part wasn't difficult in the work situation.
Okay. Emotionally?
Emotionally. Okay. Right. It was just more like feeling the, it was like just armoring up, like, okay,
yeah,
they're
right.
not going to, they're probably not going to hear me. So I have, and it yeah. would, I would have to, I would choose to speak louder.
Yes.
You know, it's like I had to fight for my spot.
I know what you mean.
You know?
And stand in it and then
and
embody.
Elbow out.
Yeah,
you know?
Embody and project yeah. a kind of strength that you think they are going to understand.
Right.
That
That's their language, right?
Exactly.
Like in the more traditional or not traditional. Well, it is traditional in stereotypical way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
I know
anyways.
What you mean.
Oh my gosh, there's so much more to cover. Should we just.
Let's go down the list, girl.
Oh,
no?
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
We can
yeah.
do it. Is there that much to go?
Okay, yeah, there is.
Oh, okay.
We started with Vanessa's teachings, and then we just kind of went off on our own thoughts and
got
ideas.
Got really assertive with it. And then we took up so much time. Okay, so you'll cover?
We'll just cover a few, just like the 30,000 foot highlight.
Okay, so not yeah. every single thing. We're not going to rehash every single thing. So what you can do if you do want more is yeah. go to Vanessa's.
Go to her Instagram. I would suggest her Instagram okay. so that, I mean,
why
what
not?
I love about Instagram is that it just gives you a really nice bird's eye view of the flavor and energy of what a person is teaching. And I love that. Sometimes when you go to a website, and I'm not speaking particularly of her website, but just when you go to a website, sometimes it feels so overwhelming. Mm. But if you go to an Instagram profile, you see bits and pieces and photos and, you know, pieces of wisdom. So anyways, I'm pro Instagram. But if you want to check it out, find Vanessa at V Van Edwards, V Van Edwards.
Okay.
And you can
and now,
you can find this.
We return back to this episode.
Yes.
Okay, so Sienna, you're going to
okay.
go through
so here,
some of the main highlights.
Yeah, so
right?
some of the
okay.
main highlights. So I'm just going to go through the three kind of characteristics of an assertive person.
Okay.
You know, what they do that we can model
okay.
in order to get a little bit of that assertiveness on us.
Okay.
So that we can cultivate it more for ourselves.
All right.
We can lean into this a bit. So the first thing is that assertive people actively pursue their strengths and avoid their weaknesses. I love this. I love this.
Yes.
As
I
a
do too.
Clifton strength proponent,
mm-hmm.
which that's a whole other episode. I love.
Look that up
Clifton
too, because that's good stuff. Clifton Strengths.
That is such good stuff.
We
and
like
the whole,
that.
The whole thing is exactly this. It's about focusing on one's strengths mm-hmm. versus what our culture tends to do. I think it is changing though. It is changing, which is to go, oh, well, you're not good here, so let's work on this. Mm. Let's work on this area that you're not good at.
And be gritty.
Yeah.
Right? But like
yeah.
be gritty and persevere and work hard
yeah.
and show how much you can work at this weakness of yours.
Yes. Instead of, because the research has shown that when you work on your natural strengths, your ability to fly and soar in that lane is huge. Mm-hmm. The success rate of that is huge compared to focusing where you have a weakness. The research there has shown that the best is you'll probably get to be average in that area
mm.
versus all that you could spend all that time mm. in the lane of your strengths. Oh my God, You're going to be so shiny and flying. I love that. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the things. Assertive people actively pursue their strengths and avoid their weaknesses. Okay. And Vanessa went into, it's really amazing. You have to just look it up because she explains it better than we could explain it. But
well, I think it helps to connect the dots and make sense. Again, when we picture this discussion about assertiveness mm-hmm. taking place in a work environment. Mm-hmm. So it's about, mm-hmm. it's about pursuing or asking for job tasks that are in your strengths.
Right.
Right.
Which is considered A work. She goes through types of work, like A work, B work, C work, D work. And should we just leave it at that? Should I just give a quick thing?
Well, the spectrum of, can I give the quick thing?
Go for it.
Did you see that? I asked for what I wanted. I wanted to try and give it. Okay. So A through D. Mm-hmm. So it's a spectrum. A work is work that lies in the area of your strengths. So if you enjoy speaking in front of people, mm-hmm. then you can know that, hey, ask, can I give the presentation for this report?
Yes.
Guys, I would love to do that. Mm-hmm. D work on the other spectrum is stuff that you just are like, you're not good at.
You're just not good at
it. And you struggle with trying to design the PowerPoint slide. Oh, and it just drains you. And so you would ask to say, you know what? This is
not my area of expertise. Can I get help or stop?
Yeah. Can somebody else please do this? Yes. Because they will be much better. I really am bad at this particular type of task.
Yeah. Yeah. So D work really is that space where there are more people better at it than you. And your A work is you're actually above average. Like you're
naturally.
Better, you're naturally better at it than most people. Mm-hmm. And then there's B work and C work in between those two things.
Got it. That makes, I think people get it.
Yes.
Very
good. All right. Okay. So the next thing is assertive people are likable. So again, we started with, can you be assertive and even be liked still? Or are you going to be an a-hole? Well, here's the thing. Truly assertive people mm-hmm. are likable when they are aggressively kind.
Okay. I think we need an example for that.
Aggressively kind.
Aggressively
Because
kind.
The whole point is that it is actually kind to be assertive.
Because then you're clear and you're communicating clearly instead of making people guess what you want like that? Is that?
Actually, that's a really good example. Yes.
Oh, okay.
But assertive people also help others do more of their A work.
Because
they help support other people in their lane of greatness and strengths.
Okay.
You know, and one thing that she brought up, which I was like, yeah, you know, that's so true, is sometimes people are difficult mm-hmm. because they're only doing work in their C and D. They're only doing C and D level work. They're not playing in the lanes of A and B work. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, and can you imagine if you're doing that day in, day out? How are you going to feel?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. So anyways, that's number two. Number three, the next one, is using assertive verbal and nonverbal cues.
Okay.
Okay, so this is
example
a good
time.
One. This is a good one. For assertive verbal cues, one of the really important things is to claim the time you need. So when you are being asked something like, oh, can you help me with this? Or here, you know what? I have so much work. Can you take on this case? Right? So someone's asking that.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? So instead of just answering in the moment, claim the time you need to think about it, to really even know what you want. Mm. Do you want to do it? Do you not want to do it? You know, because I think a lot of times when people ask things of us, we feel this urgency, like we need to respond in that moment. I know I do.
Like
do you,
with a yes or no.
Yes. Mm. It's like, oh my gosh, someone texted me. They're asking me something. I need to reply right away. Mm. Do you feel that way? I feel that way. I tend to feel that way.
I can feel that way. I don't know if it's a default.
Okay.
It's kind of a default thing for me.
So the point here is to claim the time you need. Don't say yes in the moment and instead mm-hmm. say something like, Let me think about that.
Okay. Nice. Yep. Don't just bend over.
Right. Or I'll get back to you with an answer tomorrow. Let's schedule a time to talk about this tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Let's schedule a time to talk further about this. Let's schedule a time to talk about this. You know, so it's not a response in the moment where you end up saying yes to all these things.
Ugh.
You know, so that's one thing. It's also kind to be clear and concise.
So is this still part of
kind of more along the lines of what? Yeah, so verbally, right?
Okay,
so verbally being clear and concise. And part of that too is saying, you know, instead of saying I can't, like, oh, I can't go to the county fair with you.
Okay.
I'm saying that because we hopefully by the time you hear this, we'll have gone to the county fair. But oh no, I can't go to the county fair. So instead of saying that, say I don't. Oh, you know what? I don't do fairs.
It's with just you tomorrow.
Like in general, right? Yeah. It helps people to know who you are instead of masquerading, like saying yes. You know, it kind of reminds me of, you know how when you don't you don't nip something in the bud, and it's like someone gives you something, like they're like, oh, here's my shepherd's pie.
Okay.
And you're like, oh, wow, thanks. Oh, my gosh. Oh, did you? And then the next day, did you like it? Oh, it was so good. And you don't like shepherd's pie.
Oh, so you tell a little white lie.
Oh, my gosh.
But you
and
do
then
want to be
now
nice.
They think, now they see you as a person who likes shepherd's pie.
Yes.
I mean, it's not really this. That's not really the best example. But it made me think of that.
Yeah.
When you're going around saying, I can't, people... That's not clear to the person, right? Because you are masquerading as a person that actually likes county fairs. It's just you
Got
can't
it.
Do it. Oh, I can't. I'm busy.
Okay.
But you're not clear that you're not really letting them know that I just don't do county fairs. You know what? They're gross to me. There's too many people. I can't handle all that fried food.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You know, I know we're hopping
it's
around
against
from
my
like
religion.
Personal examples and work examples, but. That's just what I thought of.
Hmm.
So using I don't instead of I can't.
Or the I can't choice of words is very disempowering, right? Like I
That's
can't,
really true, yeah.
You know, so that's how I took it to mean like don't say I can't, but you just don't.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's that... Maybe it's neither of those and you're fine with county fairs.
Yeah.
But you know, thanks for asking. I actually have other plans.
Mm.
And even if the plans are just to lounge around at home. But at least that way you're not disempowering yourself. And
I guess you could also say, you know, I don't really feel like it.
Valid.
Yes, I want to just lay on the couch and finish watching Firefly Lane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost there. Tully, I got to find out what happens with Kate and Tully. You know, it's like...
Yeah, I have a date with
you know,
Kate and
I mean,
Tully.
That it almost seems like you're not allowed to do that. Like, say,
I love it. Can we normalize saying that kind of stuff? Normalize that. Yes.
I know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyways, okay, so just quickly, some other non-verbal, those were some of the verbal cues. So some of the non-verbal is kind of leaning backwards.
Okay.
That's not, you know, such assertive
removing yourself.
Behavior. Yeah. Or even actually physically turning away.
Okay.
You know, turning yourself away, blocking your body.
Okay.
You know, I know people can't see what I'm doing, but anyways, yeah. And then vocally... Speaking with less volume, asking instead of stating.
Okay, wait. All of these, this list that you're going down, those are cues that are assertive or that are...
They're not assertive.
Oh, okay.
So really looking at the verbal...
Because
we talked about verbal cues, so these are like the non-verbal cues. So this is like the body language, right? So like non-assertive people, you know, we'll lean back, turn away, block our body, and then in vocal tone, you know, speaking with less volume, asking instead of stating, and even sometimes holding your breath.
Okay. So then being assertive would be the opposite. It's like facing somebody squarely and speaking mm-hmm. with a louder volume.
Well, just not, speaking.
Don't lower your voice.
Right, right.
But maybe you can use a low tone.
Yeah. So anyways, okay. I loved this. I mean, there's so many things. Okay, wait, here's some little bonus, little extras. You know, so don't shrink, don't step back, lean in, stand tall. And also this one's hard. Bonus points for people who can do this. Smile only when you feel it. Only when you feel it. I think this is hard for women.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, this reminds me of this entire topic reminds me of a sentiment that we've also heard expressed recently, which was that in our culture, certain people mm-hmm. are given more permission to be confident than others.
Yes, that's so true.
And those people have tended historically to mm-hmm. be male and straight and white. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of us just simply have not been given permission or been the given space. Any kind of validation when we do show just simple confidence.
Right. Or if there is, it's like a negative, some negative kind of lashback or even more subtle than that.
Right. The labels of being a biatch or all of that stuff. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, anyway. But the smiling, it's like, it's so natural to smile.
But, it's so funny because, again, these suggestions, I think they are being given, again, in the context of a value system that says smiling equals mm-hmm. non-assertive. And that is true in the context of warrior forward, male aggression kind of forward culture.
And this is
I think it also depends,
like if we're talking about the workforce, it depends on what the culture is in your work.
Exactly.
Right? So what do you need to do to be heard? What do you need to do to be seen? What do you need to do to move your work forward?
Yeah.
What do you need to do to get the job done?
Yes.
Right?
What's the game that's being played? How are you going to play it?
Yeah.
Yep.
But I think here's the gem. So we'll leave everyone. This is the gem.
Let's gather around.
This is the gem.
The gem.
But I encourage all of you to visit Vanessa Van Edwards' Instagram, V Van Edwards, at V Van Edwards. But this is the gem we'll leave you with. It's impossible to be assertive if you're afraid to be your true self.
Ooh.
It's impossible to be assertive if we're afraid to be our true selves.
Okay. And by the way,
we'll leave people to think on that.
We'll leave you. And also, by the way, just to be clear.
Yeah.
We know we've talked about Vanessa a lot this episode.
But it's like she's our friend.
Right.
Yeah, so Vanessa
But this is not like, this is not a paid thing. Like we have no.
Oh no, no.
We are just. We are just simply.
I just really loved. I loved finding her. I loved that. What really won me over is that she says she is a recovering awkward person. I love
that's a great tagline
because you would never think that when you see her.
That is a great tagline,
and so it's inspiring to me.
And so Sienna just really resonated with this, and we're like, hey,
I have to share this. People are going to get stuff out of this.
Yeah. So we genuinely just wanted to share. So thanks for listening. You've hung in a long time. This is a longer episode of ours. Thank you for listening. Rate and review the podcast only if you like it, and come find us on Instagram. Our handle is Sienna and Toast. So we'll see you there. Until next time, live your love story.
Hello, I'm Dr. Stephen Farber, and I am an author, teacher, psychotherapist, and shamanic practitioner. On my podcast, Healing for Your Soul, I welcome some amazing guests and introduce you to some healing techniques like earth magic, working with nature and animals, and really getting to the heart of what is keeping you stuck. I want to help you deepen your spirituality and let go of blocks that are holding you back. Let me help you in this journey called life. part of the mindbodyspirit.fm podcast network. Subscribe and follow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.